I'm going to take time and visit with State Senator Jesse Green and get a chance to get updated on what's been going on the Senate side of the legislature this week. Senator, thanks for taking time to visit.
Hey, it's been a long week, and so it's good to finish it up with you and kind of recap all the exciting news.
Well, we do have, of course, know that at least for the legislature, this was really your second funnel, and late Thursday afternoon for you, the Education Committee meeting, you're on that, and amazing all the things you had to get taken care of.
Yeah, no, it's been a great week, a great feeling too to get through second funnel week, and it's kind of a relief because there's a lot of bills that are on your mind that you kind of wonder, are they going to survive second funnel, because your bill is in the other chamber, that's if it's one of your personal bills, and so it's kind of out of your control at that point, and so everybody's kind of on pins and needles, and at the end of the week you're going to have some wins, you're going to have some losses, and that's just how the world goes around.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, too, that just, again, so that people understand, the end of the second funnel, this is things that had come out of the House and stuff, and you guys were supposed to move it out on the Senate side. Like you said, the bills you had moved out earlier, you wanted the House to get those taken care of. And it's not that they, there are ways that things might get pulled back in a little bit, but really, once you get to this point, then you can really start focusing on what are we going to do budget. And, of course, obviously, you guys still have a lot of property tax stuff you're going to be talking about.
Yeah, so there's been a little bit of talk that maybe there's going to be another property tax bill that drops next week because of due to all the feedback that we've gotten and some of the good changes that have been recommended. The bill has changed enough to where it sounds like we may have another property tax bill next week and have a subcommittee on it. And so, at the end of the second funnel, it is just such a relief to know that you can narrow your focus down to what's still alive, what's ready for the floor. And it just really narrows your focus down to a few last important things. And of course, the budget, I would anticipate that next week we will get our targets, and that'll allow probably about 2 weeks negotiating and trying to iron that out.
Try to get through all of that. Were there any bills that you had over on the Senate or on the House side that you were hoping would come out? Did you have any personal legislation in there?
Yeah, so I had 100% the survival rate. That's my first time in 5 years. I can say none of my bills that passed out of the Senate died in the House. And so a couple in judiciary, fairly non-con things, but one really important one for me personally is the college tuition and how courts and judges can order that in cases of divorce situations. And it's personal to me because one of my neighbors was impacted by it in a negative way, and I was able to explain it better this year to the House and as to why it's a good bill and why it needs to move forward. And it's almost receiving unanimous support now on both parties in both chambers. So it just a good lesson learned for me. I need to have a few more extra conversations, explain the context of some of these bills. Because there's certain bills that come up, and you're just like, where did this come from? You know, what triggered this thought? And it just takes a couple conversations.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. That's so hard because with so much activity going on, people get their focus on certain things. Obviously, property tax, obviously, that's one. You know, they keep looking and they get all these questions. And something like this, which makes common sense, it just kind of gets lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, yep. And it's the reality of that, just to explain that bill a little bit, is in the early 1970s that when a lot of divorce law came into place after a no-fault divorce was instituted, this was put in place to where judges could order that college tuition be split between the parents and the students three ways. And, at that time, it was low divorce rates and low college tuition. Now it's a high college tuition and high divorce rates, and which has created a completely different environment as to the health of these situations. So it's just, I believe I've won the argument that it would be a lot healthier to just make that a private matter between the parents and the child, whether or not that should be a part of their divorce situation or not. Keep it out of the courts.
Well, one of the things that as we wrapped up this week, of course, we do know that education was one of the last committees to meet. You had a busy afternoon on Thursday.
Yeah, so this week we looked at the House bills. The controversial chaplain bill came over today, and we had good debate on it, and we ended up passing that out of the Senate. It might be kind of one of those head scratching bills, but the reality is that schools right now could hire chaplains if they want. There's nothing in CODIS preventing it. So this just more clarifies and puts standards in place and guardrails into place. I don't understand why it's such a controversial bill. I trust local school boards to know that whether or not they need a chaplain or desire one for their situations, and that's all this bill does. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's a local control bill. Some other controversial ones that came out of the House into the Senate that we passed out today out of full education was DEI and Regents and mm-hmm. Community colleges. We ended up amending it a little bit in the Senate, as well as core curriculum, what should be taught, the minimum requirements for Regents to be teaching a certain curriculum. Mm-hmm. And that's just to name a few. I don't know how many of those you want to go to.
No, but, that's okay. It would take us all the show here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things like that that people, it's in there. There's a lot of still discussion going on. Some may end up getting passed. Some may not. Again, we're into that mode right now. So,
well, honestly, Jim, the biggest thing on my mind this week, and I don't know if you saw the news, was the governor's energy bill has now come into appropriations committee, which I sit on. And I reached out to the Trump administration, the Department of Justice, for a letter to give their opinion as to their thoughts on the governor's energy bill. I've got some personal problems with it. I think it limits competition. It's going to drive up rates. Mm-hmm. And so this week I made a very public stand on it. And for me personally, I think it also ties into the pipeline conversation with CO2. So. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was kind of a big news item for me personally.
Yeah. So, for listeners, can you let them know a little bit of just a couple of the highlights of it and some of the areas where you might have some issues?
Yeah, sure. The governor's energy bill, for the most part, there's a lot of good things in it, but, the one issue that keeps, kind of making people scratch their heads is there's a portion in there that gives a right of first refusal to Iowa companies as to the building and management of future transmission lines in the state, and before out-of-state companies can bid on those projects. Mm-hmm. And on the surface, it appears to me that it is allowing government-sanctioned monopolies to be able to kind of set rates and have their way with rates and not make them competitive anymore. Mm-hmm. I have to say that I'm not a deep expert when it comes to utilities and stuff, but right on the surface, I think it violates free market principles. I get that it's a highly regulated structure, and mm-hmm. so that kind of complicates things, but that's why I reached out to the Trump administration to see what their thoughts were, and their professional insights from the Assistant Attorney General align with my gut that says that there's something wrong with this. So it'll be interesting how that bill continues to move forward. And the House passed over a pipeline bill. It was one of my personal bills that I had a companion to in the Senate.
Yeah.
And I figured this is an opportunity for me to force a conversation, to have a conversation on that as well in the Senate.
So, and I know Senator Brusolo, did he move something out of Commerce?
Yeah, he did. There's two pipeline bills that came out of the House. One was mine, which is a simple one that just says that companies cannot use eminent domain on agricultural land for carbon pipelines. So it's very carbon specific.
Yep.
And I think that's what aligns with the public's feelings as to the situation. Sure. That carbon is different than other utilities. But then the other bill that got passed out was a more omnibus bill that dealt with land restoration, insurance, how the IUC board operates, and then more clearly defining common carrier and how eminent domain can or cannot be used with that. Senator Buslow has done a good job talking with people about that and kind of shaping the bill according to his philosophy on utilities. And so I have yet to see the amendment that he's going to be putting on it on the floor. But it sounds like there could be a good compromise coming out of this, which is good.
It's one of those where he's got a lot of things in there, and you might have to, when you take a look at it, go, well, okay, and now what kind of impact will this have as we go forward and stuff? So a little more encompassing stuff. What any other items that came up this week that you were watching closely and trying to get to move forward?
Yeah. A couple of my bills are ready to go on the floor. The U.S. Civics bill is still still alive and ready to go. I don't see any problems with that. I'm looking forward to the education budget numbers. It could be such a thing that I'm not given any new money to spend on that. Can't wait to see what I'm allowed to negotiate on with that. It all depends on that overall target. But I've really enjoyed getting feedback from local governments on the property tax situation. Yeah. I was a little disheartened to hear from the other side some of the arguments as to why assessments and property tax have gone up so much. Rob Sand kind of came out with some narrative that this is somehow tied to vouchers and stuff, and I was a little disappointed to see him kind of twist that into an issue that it's not. And like with every narrative, there's maybe a shred of truth to it, and the only possible shred of truth there is education savings accounts being tied to higher property tax, that if there's been a drastic drop in enrollment within a particular district and that district goes on budget guarantee, then yes, there could be the potential of a property tax increase. But outside of that, there is absolutely no shred of truth to that narrative. Sometime I'd like to have a personal conversation with Rob Sands on that as to why
Seems to me the percentage number of students that it actually involves is not an overwhelming number. I'm sorry. It just, it's in the low single digits, or it's in the single digits pretty much.
I mean, property tax is such a complicated but also sensitive conversation because you're dealing with multiple layers of government. There is a lot of fears out there about people having to sell their homes because of their increased property taxes. And so to put kind of gas in the fire on something like vouchers as to why property taxes is being increased, to me, is just that's really dirty politics to me.
Well, I'm sure you might have gotten a call, or we'll hear from your constituents about the valuations that came out, the new ones.
Oh, I'm hearing it.
which we knew were going to go up anyway. We've known since the middle of last year just because of the home sales and the prices that were getting paid.
Well, all I can say is, and I hope this really hits home with your listeners, at the end of the day, we want healthy assessments and valuations. And here in Iowa, when it comes to assessments, and we have a check and balance with that, to keep it within the actual market sales of these properties. At the end of the day, it comes down to spending. It always comes down to the spenders. And there's, I have a little bit of responsibility with that, as well as your supervisors and city councilmen and your school board members. And we all have shared responsibility in this conversation. So don't blame the assessor. Blame us.
Okay. Well, the assessor just does the math. And we've been pretty fortunate. We got to admit, here in Boone County, we haven't had an equalization order in more than a dozen years. So that's going through it quite a few times. So
I've definitely heard from Boone probably supervisors more than the other ones because they have done such a great job of keeping their levies low, and they are afraid of these property tax changes that we're making that we're punishing good actors like them that have done a good job of restraining their spending. But I always try to remind them, one is they can tap into their supplemental levy, which they haven't, if they need to. Secondly, just because you've done good things in the past, just keep doing those good things and keeping your levies low, and you don't have to worry about some of those restrictions. Yeah. So,
Boone County being one of those that hasn't used the supplemental, they're a little adverse to levying with that. You know, it's that's a challenge for them.
Oh, I appreciate their sensitivity to that. That just means they're being really responsible to the citizens of Boone County. And also with Daisy Dairy coming in with that $1 billion investment, no matter what, everybody's going to benefit from that. And things are looking up for Boone.
I tell you what, we got a lot of different things going. What is it on the 14th, I believe? They're planning another chamber event that'll be going on at the library. I think that's coming up.
It's going to be on I believe it's Monday the 14th at Erickson Library. And this one is going to be more focused on economic development. I believe somebody from economic development is going to be there to kind of talk about housing and other issues. And so I really look forward to that.
All righty. Hey, I do appreciate you taking time to visit with us. Let us know what's going on. I know you get into a lot of the numbers, dollars and cents. That's the big thing to push to get you to the end. Are you feeling confident you're going to get there?
I'm feeling great. I think there's a good attitude at the Capitol. There's a lot of good cooperation, probably the most cooperation I've ever seen since my time down there. So I think we'll get out on time.
All righty. State Senator Jesse Green, our guest on our program. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.